Blog Talk Radio.
Institute of Biblical Learning, oh God.
Thank you, Lord. But you're allowing us to grow spiritually. Because there's a blessing in growing spiritually. There are consequences of not putting up the effort to grow. But there are a whole lot of blessing, Lord, in growing towards spiritual maturity. So we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity and a responsibility to Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're not just learning about you for ourselves, but so that we can be a blessing to others. For the anointing that you're giving to us through your word shall bless others, heal others, deliver others, set others free. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. And Father God, your word said that by this shall men know that we are your disciples, is that we have love one for another. And love is only a four-letter word unless you put it into action. So we thank you, Lord, for all those that are on the call tonight. We thank you, Lord, for every family represented. We thank you, Lord, hallelujah. We decree and declare that, hallelujah, everyone on this call is not just going to be blessed, oh Lord, but they are going to be the blessing of the Lord by which others are blessed in Jesus' name. We decree and declare that the word that shall come forth today shall spring forth with revelation, wisdom, and knowledge, bursting forth in our hearts in Jesus' name. We thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. And Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, glory to God. We thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Satan, the Lord God, rebuke you in your satanic court. You are under our feet. We say, get thee behind us, Satan. You are a liar and the father of them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cancel every plan, every device, every strategy, every tactic. Everything you set up to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives is null and void in Jesus' name. We bring your works to naught in Jesus' name. We curse you from the root and command you to be bound in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the harvest on the seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing. And again, Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. We bless your name in Jesus' name. And the class says,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor Peaches, if you would, go down the road, please.
All right. Anjanette Harris.
Here.
Annette James.
Here.
Phoebe Stevenson.
Phoebe's in the house.
And Tiffany Warren?
Here.
All right.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want to share with you, we have a new protocol today that we're going to deal with. I'm going to call your name to speak. I will go down the list of people when I ask, are there any questions, and I'll just go down the list, because there's not 20 people in the class. There's only four. So I'll go down the list and say, so-and-so, are there any questions? So-and-so, are there any questions? So-and-so, are there any questions? So I will go down the list.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So we won't be stepping on one another, because there's a seven-second delay. It may be longer than that. And when you don't hear anything and you speak up, somebody in the same boat, they didn't hear anything, so they're speaking up, and y'all both speak up at the same time. So we can do it a little different today. In other words, when it comes time to reading, I won't call for, there is no more volunteers up in this class. I will call your name.
Amen.
Because your grade for the class is a 100% class participation. So it's not who's going to volunteer. I will call your name. And, Sister Angie, do you have any questions on that?
No.
Sister AJ, Deacon AJ, do you have any questions on that?
No, sir.
Elder QB, do you have any questions on that?
No, sir.
Sister Tiffany, do you have any questions on that?
No, sir.
All right. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, what we had, we started reading, we read one paragraph. First of all, the classes for the day, we always have spiritual maturity. That's the first class. The second class that we are having today is a history of the English Bible. That's what the two classes today. Mm-hmm. Last Tuesday, we read the first paragraph of the book, the fourth chapter of Growing Towards Spiritual Maturity. Pastor Peaches,
yes.
Can you read the first paragraph again?
Yes. Just as newborn infants must drink milk to grow, so new Christians must feed on the Word of God in order to grow and mature. Reading and studying God's Word provides the nourishment necessary for this growth. 1 Peter 2:2. While eating food may be only a routine of life for some people, God elevates the process, alleviates or God elevates the process of feeding on His Word to a feast. Scripture compares God's Word to delighting oneself, desiring gold, and eating honey. To grow and mature as disciples of Jesus, we must feast on God's Word as it is exactly what it claims to be, the very Amen. Word of God Himself. The Word of God is the most concrete, objective truth the disciple has to follow. In this chapter, followers of Christ will learn the characteristics of God's Word, the values of studying God's Word, and how to study God's Word in a way that will transform their lives.
Hallelujah. Okay, when you finish the paragraph, say, end the paragraph.
End the paragraph.
All right. Thank you so much. And Angie, oh, first, okay, I'm going to ask for any questions about what was just read. Hallelujah. Sister Angie, any questions about what was just read?
No.
All right. Sister AJ, Deacon AJ, any questions about what was just read?
No, sir.
I can hardly hear you. Okay, but I heard.
Say no, sir.
All right. Elder QB, any questions about what was just read?
No, sir.
Okay. Sister Tiffany, any questions about what was just read?
No.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Oh, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah. All right. Sister Angie, can you read the second paragraph?
I don't have the book in front of me. I'm in my bedroom, so I have to read the next one. Sorry.
Okay. Okay, we go. Sister AJ, can you read the second paragraph?
Okay. The Bible as God's Word. The Bible repeatedly claims to be God's Word. More than 760 times in the Old Testament, the author identifies the message as God's Word, or some equivalent phrase. Hundreds of statements, especially in the prophets, begin with some form of the expression, thus says the Lord. E.g., Jeremiah 31:2. During his earthly ministry, Jesus endorsed all the sections of the human Bible.
The Hebrew Bible,
the laws, the prophets, and the writings. Luke 24:44. And emphasized the Bible origin.
The divine origin
of the Old Testament, Mark 7:7-8.
Mm-hmm.
End of the chapter.
End of paragraph,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Just for information's sake, of course you're kidding. The Hebrews look to the Old Testament in three parts. I think the law, the prophets, and the writings. I think that's what was.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the subdivisions that we deal with, but that's what the Jewish folk look at the Bible, the Old Testament. Three parts.
Yes.
Look at it, three parts. All right.
So they have, like...
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, so, Sister Angie, any question about what was just read?
No.
No question. So what I just shared was that the Jewish folk look at the Old Testament as the law, the prophets, and the writings. I don't know. Well, that's what they look at. Okay. Sister Angie, Deacon AJ, you had a question.
Yes. Okay, so basically you're saying that the Jewish people, so they basically has three subdivisions. Like when we have five.
Right. So we don't even deal with that. This is just the information sake. That will not be on the test. That was just some information.
Okay.
All right. Elder QB, any questions?
Yes.
What was that?
No, sir.
Okay.
I just thought it was interesting.
Tiffany?
That's all. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it was. Sister Tiffany, any questions?
My only question is where are we reading from?
The book called Growing Toward Spiritual Maturity, page 41.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Remember this now. When I say the class is a spiritual maturity, the book that we're dealing with in this class is Growing Toward Spiritual Maturity. The next class is going to be the history of the English Bible, and it's the book we're going to be dealing with is a pictorial history of our English Bible. That's the book. So you definitely be in tune with what the textbook for the class. In other words, all right.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
That's a good point. Hallelujah.
Got you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
I have both the books. Which one am I in? So I apologize. I didn't know which one I was supposed to be in. So thank you.
Okay, you're quite welcome, and thank you for the question. Elder QB, can you read the next paragraph?
Yes, sir, I can. The New Testament also claims to be God's word. Jesus proclaimed his own gospel message with such divine authority, Matthew 7:28-29. So one astonishment audience, is that right? Audience exclaimed, no one ever spoke like this man, John 7:46. Insisting that God was the source of his message, Jesus said, I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me, John 8:28. The apostles also recognized the divine origin of their message in writing, commending the Thessalonian believers. Paul wrote, when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 13. Peter even gave Paul, apostle, a scriptural statue.
Status.
I think it is something.
Scriptural status.
Okay, status. Spiritual status equal to the Old Testament. 2 Peter 3:16. The Bible clearly claims to be God's word. That claim is verified by Jesus, who demonstrated his own divine nature and trustworthiness by his sinless living, miracles, fulfillment, Old Testament prophecy, and most of all, by his resurrection from the dead. End of paragraph.
All right. Pastor Peaches, can you look up 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? In the Amplified. Let's see what that says.
2 Timothy 3:16
and 17. Okay. I need to recommend also to all of you, when we're doing this reading, that you have your highlighter in your hand so you can highlight salient. Salient means important parts, so important statements.
Amen.
Okay. Sister Angie, do you have any questions or comments on this paragraph?
No, sir.
All right. Deacon AJ, do you have any questions or comments on this paragraph?
No, sir.
Okay. Elder QB, do you have any questions or comments on the paragraph that you read?
I don't have any questions, but it's just so profound that they did not want to accept God's word. They had their own visions or versions.
Amen. You know, that's why it's so important for us to really, really get into the word of God and understand.
Amen.
That the word of God is the word of God. And if we get it in us, when the enemy comes and tries to say anything other than the word of God, we know the truth. And see, knowing the truth, that's what's going to set you free. So thank you. Sister Tiffany, any question or comment on that particular paragraph?
Unmute your phone, Tiffany.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on mute. My bad. It's all right.
I know you were just popped an alarm there. Okay. Any questions or comment on this paragraph that Elder QB read?
No, I don't have any comments, but I'm still trying to get to where y'all at. I'm on page 41, but what paragraph are we on?
It's the second paragraph under the Bible as God's Word. It starts with the Testament also claims to be God's Word. I was reading that. That's the second paragraph. On 41. It starts on 41 and goes over to 42.
Okay, so granting of requests?
No. Okay, go back to page 41 at the bottom. The Bible as God's Word, that was read already. Okay, I read the second paragraph. The New Testament also claims to be God's Word. That's what I read. And it goes over to 42.
I apologize. I guess I'm still a little confused because on my page 41, it says prayer results, and then it starts to talk about the Old Testament. So am I not where I'm supposed to be?
Are you in the right book?
Okay. The growing towards spiritual maturity. Is that the
book? Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. So I know that I had chapter 4 up prior that says feasting of the word. Am I going in the right direction?
Yeah, you're going right. Go down to the bottom.
Okay, the Bible as God's word. Is that what you just read, Elder QB?
I read the last paragraph on that page, which flows over to 42. A New Testament also claims to be God's word.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The last paragraph.
So it started with the New Testament and it ended with from the deep, correct?
And it flows over to 42. It says the Bible clearly claims to be God's word. That's
Thank
the last.
I'm here. I got y'all.
All
Thank
right,
you.
Girl. Get on board, little children. Come on, girl.
Oh, my God. Okay. I had the book. I'm like, I'm going to read the same thing. Because I'm not on 41. I'm on page 31. So I'm really confused. That's why it kind of confused me. My page is 31.
No, we're on 42 now.
All right. Well, I'm just going to follow. I see
yep.
where you at.
Okay, you have to drink evening coffee.
The authority of God's word is next, correct?
Yes, that it is.
All right, awesome. I'm following now.
All right, well, thank you, class. Hallelujah. All right, Sister Tiffany, can you read the next paragraph, please?
Sure, the authority of God's word. Because the Bible is God's word, it demands serious attention and respect. Several terms explains the nature of the divine authority. Biblical revelations refer to the fact that God has taken the initiative to disclose information about his
nature.
You okay?
You there?
Hello?
Yes?
Sister Tiffany, you still there? Okay, her phone may have dropped.
Yes, it sounds like it.
Yeah, okay, that's what it is.
Pastor, I also wanted to say you had given Peter something to read, 3:16.
Hello.
Oh, there you are.
I don't know what happened, y'all. I'm sorry.
Sorry, the devil's a liar. That's all. Keep on rolling.
All right.
Okay.
Reading. Yes, his nature, external purpose, and provision for salvation in the words of Scripture. Much of this truth was not available apart from God's own communication of it. First, what is that supposed to be? Corinthians.
Corinthians.
Okay, 2:6-12. Biblical inspiration means that the Holy Spirit supernaturally controls and guides the human.
Okay, stop just for a second, please. Okay, now you need to say, what was that, 1 Corinthians?
Yeah, 1 Corinthians.
Okay, you need to say that so you'll be able to say that next time.
And that was the end of that paragraph.
Oh, that was the end?
What?
Oh, okay, so 1 Corinthians 2:6-12.
Okay.
Am I saying that correctly? 1 Corinthians 2:6-12.
Okay, now when you get to the end of the paragraph, say end of paragraph, see, because I wouldn't know unless you said that. Okay, now, before we discuss what was just read, Pastor Peaches, can you read what I asked you to read?
First, 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15.
No, 16 and 17.
16 and 17. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof, and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. That was 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 in the Amplified.
Okay, thank you so much. Now, Sister Angie, do you have a question or a comment about what Sister Tiffany read or Pastor Peaches?
No.
You understand what that shared, correct?
Yes.
All right. All right. Deacon AJ, question or comment on what was read?
I want to talk about the Revelation, the the sentence where it says the biblical revelation refers to the fact that God has taken initiative to disclose information about his nature, internal purpose,
mm-hmm.
provision, salvation, information, his nature, internal purpose, provision, and salvation of his word of scripture. And when I read that particular sentence, it was kind of like, for me, it was like, I knew that, but that for me, it was like sort of like confirmation, sort of, you know, like to kind of see it down on paper, I guess, to see it, to be put in these particular words, I guess I'm trying to say.
Well, that is good. You know, and if you have your highlighter, I would highlight that. Highlight what you feel is the important factors or important statements in that paragraph. All right.
I did.
All right. Thank you so much.
Right.
Elder QB, any question or comment about what was that?
What jumped off to me on that page is the fact that the respect is not given to the word of God. It is so powerful. It comes from God. It's not anybody's opinion.
Mm.
And a lot of times we have not given that respect to it and the honor and taking it as truth, the beginning and the end of who God is. And because of that, people have not, you know, carried the weight of knowing that you have authority in Jesus Christ by using his word, because it came straight from him.
Amen. You know, that's why I keep telling people, especially about the King James Version Bible, that every page was soaked in the blood of martyrs. So that you can give true respect to this word. People died so you could get the truth of God, God's word,
Amen.
In your own hand. Thank you, Elder QB. Sister Tiffany, do you have any comments or questions about what you read?
No, sir.
All right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches, can you read the next paragraph?
Yes, I had a thought. A lot of other religions or other sects, they think, the Muslims, they see Christ as just mere man, you know, and they don't, I guess they, because he walked on this earth and this and that, and they don't see him as the Son of God or whatever, but his word, I mean, he is the Son of God. His word is powerful. What Elder Kibbe said, it made me think of that, you know, that they think they see him just as, although they see him as a prophet, as a mere man. I guess perhaps they're equal. God knows he is not their equal. He is not our equal. His words give life. You can call his name, and there's power behind his name. You can call our name, and you might as well say, "Hey, Joe." Ain't nothing happening when you call Joe's name.
Nope.
Ain't for real. Ain't no thunder going to roll, and no boats going to, and no lightning going to start boating from the sky. But nobody going to get healed. They did. They did. You know, they going to get up. It's
Amen.
Power in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
yes,
it is.
Yes.
Sister Peters, what you're saying is so true, because there was a young man, a doctor, who was interested in dating me, and I just threw a hook out there. I said, "What you think about Jesus?" He said, "Oh, he's just a good prophet. He don't know. He almost got slapped with a brick." I had to control myself because I realized he did not know what he was saying and who he was saying it to.
Oh, my God.
I had to calm down. But you know he got cut, right? You know he got cut, right?
Yeah.
You're so right. So right.
Did I fall into the trap that some people in the secular world go and say, "Well, just God has different names, and we all call him by different names"? That's not true.
Mm.
The Muslim, their God is Allah.
I'm telling you.
They say, well, in Arabic, that means God. No, that means their God. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of gods. I mean, Confucius, their God. And there's a whole bunch of them. The Hindus, I think they got about 3,000 gods. The Buddhists, I think they got as many or maybe double. They're not the same.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's not the
not
same. And when the Bible says that the only way you can get to Almighty God is through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That settles it.
Through Jesus. That's right.
If you
Amen.
Don't go through Jesus, the word says you're a thief and a robber.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things that I love about the word of God is, number in Revelation, it says that Jesus is the word of God. Mm.
Yes, yes.
And another thing, if you read enough scripture, if you deal, when situations come up, you automatically, it's a reflex action, a scripture comes up to your mind, because you deal with the word of God. And if you're not there yet, don't worry about it. Some people are there. But you don't, again, do not judge yourself with others. Judge yourself with yourself.
Right.
With the word of God. That's how you grow.
Amen.
You're not in competition with nobody.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
But yourself. You want to be better today than you were yesterday. You want to know just a little bit more today than you did yesterday.
Amen.
You want to check out a scripture today, more today than you did yesterday. See, that's what you do to grow. You
Amen.
Can't drink
Amen.
Water just once a week.
Amen.
You can't drink water just two or three times a week. Somebody told me you got to drink, what, was it 8 glasses of water a day, something like that?
Yeah. Right.
That's
what
a day.
You got to, I submit to you, do 8 scriptures a day. Glory to God. They're going to bless your socks off.
Amen.
And don't be thinking about me, mine, us four, no more. Think about how you can bless others when you know the word of God. And the enemy will tell you, you can't do this, you can't do that. Lord, have mercy. I don't talk. Hallelujah.
It's a good thing.
But see, the devil is a liar.
Amen.
Because he wants you to He wants you to give up. He don't want you to grow.
Amen.
He don't want you to glow.
Yes.
He don't he don't want you to take a light and shine it in darkness.
Amen.
He wants you to take your light and go hide you and the light and hide and where you're comfortable. Well, nobody touched me now. Nobody hurt my feelings now. Nobody will disrespect me now. Well. See, when they're passing out the blessings, they can't find you. Lord have mercy, because you're hiding.
Mm-hmm. And the more and the more he is exposed, the less power he has.
The devil is a liar and the father of them. He will
He's on his job.
He will put, he's a forger, too. He will put ideas in your head and put your name on it.
Yeah.
He's the same guy that will write a check and sign your name to it. And try to mess you up. And then you follow what he said, he's going to mess you up forever.
Amen. Amen.
That's why you got to be careful what you say out your mouth.
Yeah.
Don't, see, one of the things, glory to God, and I know my class is over, but one of the things, one of the things that my wife said, man, I need to listen twice as much as I talk. You know, in other words, when stuff happens, don't go through the reflex action and say what's in your mind, because probably the devil put, if it doesn't line up with what God said, the devil put it down. I said, if it don't line up with what God said, the devil put it there.
All right?
Amen.
And then don't you stop repeating what the devil said.
Amen.
Because then you have what he has. And what he has is a bad preacher. What he has is trouble. He got trouble. He is trouble. He's a liar and the father of them. You got to stand on the word of God.
On the word of God. Can I say something real quick, Pastor, if you don't mind? I know I was a call, but I just feel to say this. To keep us from comparing ourselves with each other, the only common core that's between us is that we love the Lord and we're hungry for more. When we're in that state of mind, we're all on the same plane.
Praise God.
And, you know, and this is the sad part about it. The enemy wants to think, wants us to think that we're the only one going through what we're going through.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody going through what I'm going through. But guess what? If a man that's born of a woman is of a few days and what?
Full
well,
trouble.
Job 14:1 says that. I think that's 14:1. Full of trouble. And you got the good, the bad, and the ugly. Goes around circles, comes again. Good, bad, and the ugly. Everybody.
Amen.
The devil will say, ah. And when he talks, he's like a roaring lion because he'll be loud. See, everybody loud ain't right. In fact, most of the time, people that are real loud are actually real wrong.
Amen.
Oh, let me stop. Okay. That's the end of this class. Thank the Lord for spiritual maturity on today. God bless you, Father God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
For the class, we thank you for the seed sown. We thank you for what we read. Hallelujah. We'll pick up on this next Tuesday. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And we're going to take a 3-minute break. If anybody needs to take that 3-minute break, and then we'll go to the next class, which is history of the English Bible. Woo! Yay!
Jimmy Mark, will be stopped reading today. So
yes, we're going to be reading that. You got to have your books. When you come to class, you got to bring your book. Life is an open book test. You bring your books. If you don't have a place to put your books in a bag and drag them around with you so you can have your book with you.
Put them on a doorknob.
Put them on a doorknob, whatever. Because we're about learning stuff. We're about growing. And look, there's a consequence of not putting up the effort to grow.
Amen.
And to learn and to be more wise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm 3 minutes. Let me see what time is it. Hallelujah. What's your cut?
It's 7:45 right now.
Oh, okay. You got 5 minutes. 5 minutes before the next class. Y'all take a break.
The title of next class.
What'd you say?
And what's the title of the next class?
The
study of the English Bible.
Amen.
That's a thin book.
Got a tip.
The history of the English Bible. Again, every other week, every 2 weeks is going to be a different second class. This week is the history of the English Bible. Next week is going to be Know Your Bible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, anyway, let me see if I can do a break music. Hallelujah.
Power on.
Okay.
Bluetooth pairing.
Break music.
Bluetooth connected.
At 4.5 minutes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Power.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Welcome to the history of the English Bible. This is an important study. The reason why it is so important is because the enemy fought so hard that this would not get done. And we thank God that he has preserved his word. And we have the English Bible. In fact, 80% of all Bibles that are sold in the world are King James Version Bibles in English. There have been literally billions of Bibles throughout the ages. And we think that they've been sold and printed and written, copied, so that we may have the Bible in English. Hallelujah. We don't have to go down the road. Do we have to go down the road again? Go down the road again. Make sure everybody's still here with us.
Angela Harris.
Yeah.
Annette James. Phoebe Stevenson.
Phoebe's in the house.
Tiffany Warren.
Tiffany's in the house.
And JC in the house too.
I request that everyone stays in class and stays woke until the very end of class.
Including the teacher, Earl Burns. Hallelujah. Again, the title of this class is A History of the English Bible. If you have your books in front of you, we're going to go to the introduction.
Amen.
And Pastor Peaches, are you available to read the first paragraph?
No, sir.
Okay. Then
I'll be your backup person for your Bibles, for your scriptures.
Okay, great. Sister Angie, do you have your Pictorial History of the English of our English Bible? Do you have that book in front of you?
Yes.
Wonderful, hallelujah. Can you go to the introduction? If I look at the cover, it's called the Pictorial History of Our English Bible. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Amen.
Okay. Now, what's the author's name?
David B. Hill.
How do you spell that last name? I'm listening.
B-E-A-L-E.
Beale. B-E-A-L-E? Yeah, Beale. Okay,
yeah.
David Beale. Okay, sounds great. Now, open that up, and if you would, it should be some kind of introduction there. And just read the first paragraph. When you end the first paragraph, say, end the paragraph, okay?
Okay. I'm going to try my best. My voice go in and out.
I know. We pray right now because we know you've been attacked, but the devil is a liar.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And with his stripes, you are already healed. And we thank God.
Yes.
Loving you above all things, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So we thank God for your soul prosper and that you'll be in health. And by the way, if you got some cranberry juice or lukewarm water or something, that will help you too, believe it or not. But anyway,
yes.
Go ahead, read if you would.
Okay. It's an introduction. The Bible is the
is an absolute and fittable
fallible.
And it was an ignorant word of God, the special revelation of God to man. Its message and contents move increasingly through the framework of human history and speak of the most profound scientific facts in a casual manner.
Mm-hmm.
He stretches out the north over the empty place and hangs the earth upon nothing. He marks Job 26, verse 7, the humble fisherman Peter directly speaks of the elements of the universe. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. 2 Peter 3:10 in a paragraph.
Amen.
Amen.
Good job.
Any question, Sister AJ, any questions about what was read?
No, sir.
Okay. Elder TV, any question?
No, sir.
Okay. Sister Tiffany, any question?
No, sir.
All right. And Pastor Peaches, any question?
No, it just makes you want to live right.
Praise the Lord.
Because when I hear the word of God, I think it's in my head.
Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, the next paragraph, Sister Deacon AJ.
In an inexplicable manner, the Holy Spirit inspired the original autograph of the 66 scripture books, 2 Timothy 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
He guided the scripture writers in the selection of the materials which they used. Luke 1:1-4. And even in the choice of the words which they employed. 2 Peter 1:20-21.
Mm-hmm.
God used men to write a book which is essentially divine. He used the writers individual vocabulary, style, and experiences to express precisely what he wanted to reveal to man. God not only inspired all scriptures, but he inspired all scriptures equally conservative theologians refer to this as verbal plenary inspiration. God kept the scriptures writers for all era from all omission. Deuteronomy 4:2, John 10:35. End of paragraph.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Any questions concerning what was read? Elder Kibbe?
I'm just excited to know God is so powerful. Even though different men wrote the scripture, it was plain and simple, and there were no errors in it. It was straight across the board, and everybody could understand it. It all came from God. There were no mistakes. You know how we tell somebody something? I used to do this in class. I told one child, the first child something, told them, tell the next one, all the way down to the end. And it would have changed by the time I got to the end of that line. But with God, it stayed the same.
Praise God.
That's miraculous. That is only God.
That's a miracle.
That's just a beautiful thing.
Amen. Sister Tiffany, any questions or comments?
No questions. I just disagreeing with Sister Elder QB. Let me just say that that was just a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah. Pastor Peaches, any questions?
No questions, but the same God was the God that anointed all of them to write
mm-hmm.
the word. There was the same same God that one wrote about. This he didn't change.
Amen.
He didn't
Not
change. He stayed the same. Mm-hmm. When it came to all of them writing his word. That's why, you know, it all stays the same. Just like Elder Keith was saying how, you know, talking about the passing of the word around, we would play, you know, the children play their game.
Mm-hmm.
And you tell one child, one, and then by the time it gets around to the child, it's something totally different.
Mm-hmm.
No. When it comes to the word of God, it doesn't change. It doesn't do anything like that. And it's going to come out just the way he meant it to be.
Amen.
When he was telling each one of his disciples, everybody that wrote, that whole the Holy Spirit led them to write just what he wanted down on that paper.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Peaches, do me a favor and use the Message Bible and go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. And when you get there, say amen. Now, Sister Angie, any question or comment about what was just read?
No, sir.
Okay. And Sister Deacon AJ, did I ask you any question or comment?
No, you have a comment. This reminds me of the scripture of when he talks about that where that he doesn't have many like respective person.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, of how he like when the thing with his verbal plenary inspiration, you know, how he, like everybody was saying, how he just spreads it out basically across the board,
mm-hmm.
you know, of how, you know, how he doesn't have any, you know, respected person, like he just gives it to everybody, you know. That's what this reminds me of.
Amen. You know, well, Pastor Peaches, did you get to that scripture?
Okay, you said 2 Peter?
Yeah, 2 Peter, I think chapter 1, verse 21.
Okay.
I think I got the right scripture.
Okay, verse 21. Okay, in the Message Bible, they are not, I have to start from the 19th verse in the Message Bible.
Okay.
That's how they are come together.
Okay.
Okay. 2 Peter, starting with the 19th verse, it says, "We couldn't be more sure of what we saw and heard, God's glory. God's voice. The prophetic word was confirmed to us. You'll do well to keep focusing on it. It's the one light you have in a dark place as you wait for daybreak and the rising of the morning star in your heart. The main thing to keep in mind here is that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private opinion. And why? Because it's not something concocted in the human heart. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men and women to speak God's word.
Mm. One of the analogies that I use is that the 40 writers, over 40 writers were used in putting together the word of God, writing. And the analogy I use is an ink pen. They were ink pens. And they wrote what God spoke to them.
Mm-hmm.
They were ink pens or quills, or they were computer keys, the keyboard. And they just put down what God was saying to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you have to look at it's God's word. He just used a different ink because maybe they ran out of ink. I don't know. Or the lead broke and they had to use another pencil. But anyway, glory to God. So that's the word of God. Hallelujah. Who last read?
Deacon AJ.
Okay. Elder QB, can you read the next paragraph, please?
Yes, sir. Although a 66-book library, the Bible is essentially one book, forming one continuous story, bearing witness to one God, revealing one plan of redemption, and unfolding one grand central theme, the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 24:25. Chapter 24, verses 25 to 27, and John, the fifth chapter, 29th verse, and then verse 46.
Hallelujah. Again, use your highlighters to highlight the salient points as we go along. And
Amen.
Salient is another word for important.
Yes,
glory to God. Yes, this is an institute of higher learning, y'all. Hallelujah. You will hear some words you may have not heard before. Unlike the devil who tries to attenuate us, that means to devalue us, God values us. We are not an afterthought of God. We are not an also-ran.
Right.
We were planned from the foundation of the world. There's something that we can do that nobody else can do. That's why we're here.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Okay. Next paragraph, please.
You didn't answer those a question.
Excuse me. Any questions about what you read? Any questions about Elder QB, what you just read?
And excuse me, I forgot to say in the paragraph, too.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's why I got discombobulated. You got to let me know, because even if I had the book in front of me, never mind. Anyway.
It's a format. We try to instruct us to do that, and I fight
you. Yeah,
for
you
that.
Still got
to
let me know.
Watch my dust. Use my dust. But I just wanted to say it's interesting. I never heard that the Bible was like a continuous story. Bearing witness to one God, revealing his plan of redemption. I never thought of the Bible being just one story. Like it's 66 books, like a library. When you think of a library, you know, you have a lot of books on the shelf. But this, our Bible, is a continuous story with the 66 books being a portion of each fragment of it, I guess you would say. It helps us understand God from beginning to end.
It is important for us to understand Christ is the subject of the whole Bible because he is the Word of God. Pre-cross, you see him as a Christophany, a euphemism for Christ in the Old Testament. Post-cross, they call him, they call his name, they say what he is, but that's post-cross, that's New Testament. Pre-cross, he's seen as a Christophany, a precursor, preamble to his actual physical appearance in human flesh. And you can see that when it talks about the priest. What was the priest's name? Y'all know Abraham. What is his name? Starts with the M, I think.
Melchizedek,
yes. Christ was on the order of Melchizedek, the priest, high priest. And there are other several appearances of Christ in the Old Testament, but as a Christophany, a glimpse, a little peekaboo of when he coming in the flesh. But anyway, hallelujah. Sister Tiffany, you have a question, a comment on what was read?
No.
All right. Pastor Peaches?
No, sir.
All right. All right. Sister Tiffany, the next paragraph, please.
The 39 Old Testament books.
We say?
The word.
Oh, wait a minute. AJ says she didn't have a question either.
I didn't have any questions either. Oh, sorry. I apologize. I just skipped. Oh, Sister Andy, Sister AJ. Yeah. Sister Andy, you have any questions or comments? Okay, Sister AJ, Deacon AJ, any questions or comments?
No, sir.
Hello.
Hello.
Y'all need to wake me up every now and then because I think I might be falling asleep. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Excuse my duck.
Yes.
Sister Tiffany, that means God ain't finished with me yet. When you're under construction, there's a lot of dust going on. And excuse the duck. He ain't finished with me yet. Anyway, Sister Tiffany, if you could read the next paragraph.
The 39 Old Testament book. The word testament means covenant or agreement, and the scriptures use the term to designate the relationship which exists between God and his people. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew except for portions of Daniel and Ezra, which were written in
Aramaic.
Got it.
Yeah, you got
Aramaic.
It.
Aramaic.
Yeah, okay.
Got it.
Most of the
writers remain in Israel as they pen their works. As they pen their works, the most notable exceptions were Daniel and Ezekiel, who were wrote from
Babylon.
And Jeremiah, who wrote parts of his work from Egypt. I don't know what I'm doing. And Jeremiah, who wrote parts of his book from Egypt.
End of paragraph. Oh, thank you. All right. Any questions or comments about what you read? Sister Tiffany. Okay. Well, Sister AJ, any questions or comments about what was read?
No, sir.
All right. Deacon AJ, any questions or comments about what was read?
You say no, sir.
No, sir.
Okay, did I say Angie? Sister Angie? After that,
no.
Angie. Y'all both got names that start with an A. I got it.
You asked me twice.
I asked you twice. Sister Angie, any questions or comments?
No.
Okay. I love to hear you laugh. Watch out now. Yes. Elder Cuby, any questions or comments?
I just feel important to know that there's something between our God and us. It's called an agreement and a covenant. We have a bond together, and we must respect that. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. And I Pastor Peaches, any question or comments about what was that?
I was thinking how it's 66 books. All of the books were written in different places, but yet it was they were all assembled.
Isn't that something?
It's God. And here's the key that I want you to understand. Most of the Old Testament is written in Hebrew. The New Testament is written in Greek.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two places, and I'm glad it said that, where it was written in Aramaic. And that was the Babylonian, when they were in the Babylonian captivity.
Mm.
Then Daniel and what was the other, Ezra?
Ezekiel.
Ezekiel. Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was Ezra, too. So it might be three places.
Daniel and Ezra, Aramaic.
Aramaic. Okay.
I
knew it started with an E, y'all. Y'all got to excuse me.
Okay.
Sometimes I get it on the back end. But anyway, the bottom line is that when you hear that, now you know.
Mm-mm-mm.
99% of the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. It's just a little test, just a little sprinkle of Aramaic. It was in Daniel and Ezra. Might have been some in Ezekiel, but we're going to stick with Daniel and Ezra right now. But y'all need to kind of highlight that in your books.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay. Did I ask everybody to have any questions about that?
You said, excuse me, Deacon AJ, you said 99% of the Old Testament was Hebrew?
Was written in Hebrew, yes. Because only two little smidgens was written in Aramaic. And that was during the Babylonian captivity. You know, with Daniel and the three Hebrew boys and Ezra and all the other boys, you know, were taken to Babylon.
You say smidges.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, that's one of my words. Okay.
I got you. All right.
What can I say? So if you ever want to learn one of the ancient languages, you don't have to worry about Aramaic because it wasn't too much. But if you want to do Hebrew or Greek, that's cool. We may do that one of these semesters. I say we may. We may.
Hallelujah.
But anyway, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sister Angie, hopefully I got it right this time. Can you read the next paragraph for us?
Yes. The Old Testament writers completed their 39 books over a period of about 1,500 years. By Ezra, the 5th century B.C., most of them had probably completed their task. Ezra 7:6-11:12, Jeremiah 8:8. The Jews kept the collection of Old Testament scriptures in the tabernacle and later in the temple. God's people had recognized these books
from their organs as inspire revelation from God. The Jews divided them into three major parts: laws, prophets, and writings. The Lord Jesus himself acknowledged this same collection of shared writings.
Sacred
writings as the revealed word of God. Luke 24:27-44 end of paragraph.
Amen. Sister Ann, do you have any questions or comments about what you read?
God, I was able to read it because of my voice. But no, I don't have any questions.
All right. I thank God for his healing you. As you press, he's healing and delivering you right now in Jesus'
name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Deacon AJ, you have any questions or comments about what was read?
No, sir.
All right. Elder QB, you have any questions or comments about what was read?
I just kind of have a question, I guess. The temple and the tabernacle, are they two different types of buildings?
They're two different. The tabernacle was the tent. That was the tent. The temple was in Jerusalem. See, that was the tent. And when they was traveling, Jesus, when they was flowing, you know, and they was moving, they were, what do you call it? When you have people that don't stay in one spot, they were
nomadic.
Yeah, when they were nomadic, they didn't build a building, they built a tabernacle. It's in the Bible. And it had the Holy of Holies, everything that the temple had. The tabernacle had, but it was the tabernacle, and even the Ark of the Covenant was in the tabernacle.
It was like their portable church.
Yes, like you see some tent meetings. They had tent meetings all the time. You know, when they were in a spot that they stayed for a long time, they put up real big tents.
And
they flowed with that, yes. So the tabernacle and the temple were two different things. The temple was actually a building, brick and mortar building. Tabernacle was a tent.
Ah.
I mean, this is what do you call it? Bottom line, a theologian would call it, would say something else, but in essence, it was a tent. The tent.
Yes, yeah.
But the presence of the Lord was there. So, look, I'm going to leave it alone. Because I go off on a tangent. I'm getting ready to do that, but I'm going to leave it alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Deacon AJ, I think, are you next in reading?
Okay.
Oh, did I ask, anybody have any questions? What was read by Sister Angie?
No.
Elder TV, have any questions or comments about?
No, sir. You answered my question. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sister Tiffany, any questions or comments about what Sister Angie read?
No, sir.
All right. Well, bless God. So, Sister Angie, excuse me. See, y'all got the A's together here. Sister Deacon AJ. I just slapped myself. I'm sorry. Okay, Deacon AJ, can you read the next paragraph?
Okay. The 27 New Testament books. The New Testament books appeared over a period of about 70 years after Christ's death and resurrection. The writers used the Greek language exclusively. Unlike the Old Testament writers, these men wrote to and from many places. No one gathered the New Testament books into a central place such as a temple, but there was no central place of worship. Local collections of New Testament books or copies of them appeared in places such as Ephesus, Corinth, and Rome. End of paragraph.
Hallelujah. Any questions or comment about what you read, Deacon AJ?
No. No, sir.
Okay. Elder QB, any questions or comment about what she read?
No, sir.
Okay. Sister Tiffany, any questions or comment about what Deacon AJ read? Hello? Sister Tiffany, any questions or comment about what Deacon AJ read?
Take your phone off mute.
I'm sorry. No, I don't have anything to say. No, no questions or comments.
All right.
I was on mute, though.
Sister AJ, Sister Angie, Jesus. Sister Angie, any questions or comments about what Deacon AJ read?
No, sir.
All right. Thank you. Hang on in there, girl. All right. Pastor Peaches, any questions or comments about what Deacon AJ read?
I was thinking earlier when one of the readers were reading it, and you were talking about the nomads, I was thinking or visualizing like a wagon train.
Yes. Yes,
you know,
right.
The people, they going from one, it's a yes. Long train of people, you know, the wagon, and people just going from one place
wagon.
To another. And I was imagining the, like the Ark and the Ark and the Covenant and rolling up the things that, you know, the things of God, and, you know, going from one place to another and to another. That's what I was, I guess, imagining, you know.
Amen.
That, you know, traveling from one place to another, setting up, I guess, their homes and a place of worship and the things of God and stuff like that. That's what I was imagining. I guess I see pictures in my head.
All right. Oh,
Dr. Burry, I do have one thing to say. It's amazing that over 70 years they kept all that stuff together and in such good condition, because they reverenced it and took care of it, even traveling all those miles in a tent until they got to a temple.
Mm-hmm. And those things were sacred. I'm going to tell you something. I went to one of my sisters in the Lord is Messianic Jewish. And they and one part of the service, the rabbi, he takes the scroll and
yes.
and goes and comes down the aisle, and you can reach out and touch it. But it's not like and that scroll is probably hundreds and thousands of years. I mean, it's old.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
yes.
not just laid down and wait for the next Saturday to come, for somebody to come pick it. Believe you me,
mm-hmm.
it is protected.
Yes,
it's preserved. It's taken
mm-hmm.
care of, and I'm sure that just how these people that, with however they kept those things, it was probably
mm-hmm.
in a place that nobody was allowed to go in. That nobody was allowed to touch it. It was
mm-hmm.
it was like, just like the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
When that man reached out to touch the Ark of the Covenant, he dropped dead.
That's right. That's
it
right.
was it. There wasn't nothing. It wasn't something that you played with.
Amen.
It was
oh,
it
no.
was holy unto God. It was reverent. Those
yeah.
things was sacred.
Yes.
All right. Let me just share something with you real quick. The Old Testament. That's where it took 1,500 years to write that, and that's where the tabernacle. Talked about the tabernacle, and then the temple was finally built. Hallelujah! So we want to get that straight. And the New Testament It took 70 years to write the books for the New Testament. So we're talking about 1,500 plus 70 years. So basically 2,000 years. But here's 2,020 years. But the key is that the word of God was written to be spoken out aloud.
Yes, yes.
Because every book was copied by hand. Mm.
That's right.
And those people who were scribes were very special people because they got paid plenty of money to write. And if they make a mistake, they couldn't erase it and correct it.
No.
They had to go back to the beginning and start all over again. And every book had a scroll. There were 39 scrolls in the Old Testament. There were 27 in the New Testament. These were scrolls written by hand.
Yes.
You got to understand, some of these scrolls, they took months and months and months to write because they were done in a special way with reverence to God.
Amen.
It wasn't done overnight.
It had no white house.
The word of God was written to be spoken out aloud. Psalms was written to be sang.
That's
right. And many people do sing the songs.
Yes.
But that's what they would sing as they went their journey or whatever. They would go to psalms and they would sing them. That's why you heard the scripture that talks about make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That somewhere along the line it says, come before him with singing. See, and they would sing. They would sing the psalms. See, we have to just stay in the Word of God, so that we feel the Word of God singing, just popping up in our spirit. And I was singing a song the other day. What was that song I was singing the other day that I hadn't heard sang in maybe 40 years? What was that song? I forgot. But it just popped up in my spirit. Because when you think about God, when you and all he's done for you, glory to God, your spirit feels like singing. You won't have time to be depressed when you start counting the blessings of the Lord.
Amen, amen.
You won't have time to fear and be bitter, upset, or all that, because you're counting the blessings of the Lord. Look here. There are some folk whose kidneys work right. And you say, well, that's no big thing. Well, you talk to those folk that are on dialysis, that's three times a week. And they wish they had your kidneys. You say, I walk up and down the steps and I'm... Think about the people that don't have feet. You've been blessed. You count your blessings. You won't have time to be depressed. You won't have time to glory to God. Your soul will start getting happy.
Hallelujah.
See, that's what happens. Happiness is found in Christ, in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory. Happiness doesn't come from another person.
Amen.
It comes from you and God in you. Realizing the gratitude you have for what he's done for you already.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Well, I'm going to leave it alone, y'all. I want to share with y'all that I have office hours Monday through Friday from 2 to 4. If you need me to help you to do your notes, to reiterate stuff, call me between 2 and 4.
I have one question.
Yes.
Deacon AJ.
Yes, Deacon AJ.
Okay. When we're talking about the tent
and the temple. Okay, because it says here, so the temple, I know, is a building. So that was basically more like in the New Testament, correct?
No, the temple was built.
Did they have temples like in Old Testament?
They built the temple in Jerusalem in the Old Testament.
Okay. When they talk about temples here in the New Testament, where we're reading.
Yes, that the temple in the New Testament.
And Old Testament.
It was built in Old Testament times.
Okay, both.
Yes, Jesus went to the temple to read scripture, you know, in Luke 4:18. He took the scroll of Isaiah and began to read Isaiah 61, verses 1, 2, and 3. He read that.
Okay.
In the temple.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. The tabernacle was when they was moving from one place to another, and they built the tent.
Right. Okay.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Thank you.
Praise God. God bless you all. Sister Angie, any questions? No, okay. Deacon AJ, any more questions?
No, thank you.
Okay. Elder QB, any more questions? Okay. All right, Elder QB went to sleep. That's all right. We all got to, no, her phone stopped, but she's on mute. That's okay. Sister Tiffany, any last questions? Because my alarm went off about 5 minutes ago. All right.
They might be on the alarm, too.
All right. Our Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus,
hallelujah,
we thank you for today's classes.
Thank you,
Lord, for what our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. Lord, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Thank you.
God, we ask that you bless every home that was represented, O God, every person on the call, O God. We thank you, Lord, for meeting each of them, each of us all,
yes,
the point of our need, and then giving us superabundantly above. Yes. And we praise and magnify your name in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
And
amen.
God bless you. See you tomorrow morning in praise and worship.
Amen. Hallelujah. We have a good time in
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.